Please remain standing for the invocation. O God, the Holy Spirit, come to us and among us. Come as the wind and cleanse us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the dew and refresh. Convict, convert, and consecrate many hearts and lives to our great good and to the greater glory. And this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us remain standing and sing hymn number 158. Come, Christians, join to sing. Thank you. affirmation of faith is on page 888. You also will see it on the screen, page 888. This is the good news, which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Well, I had a text from Miss Nancy last night, I guess about 9, 10 o'clock, I don't know how late it was fairly late in the evening, and she had a tree fall on her house in the middle of that storm last night, so she is not with us this morning, and I do not know at this point, some of y'all may, but I do not know at this point how much damage was done to her house, but we do know that it fell on it, so we need to be in prayer for her. And just for me, it feels like that Miss Nancy's been through a lot lately. And so just ask special prayers for her as she goes through this time. Other prayer requests that you would bring to the congregation this morning? Hey, Dave? Amen. And they're going to live here with y'all for a while? I had to give it a shot, see what you said. We are glad that they're home safely today. And so we're also glad that some of our traveling visitor friends have come back to visit and be with us. And glad that they're back being part of our congregation today. So it's good to see y'all back with us today. And I'm glad that that's happened so that they're there, they're with us. Anybody else? If not, I would ask that you would join me in a time of silent prayer and then the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. On this day, a day that we are thankful that children have come home, we are thankful that our friends who have been traveling are back with us safely and had a good time, and we are thankful for a safe journey here, even though it was an interesting journey. But still safe and here in one piece, and thankful that you walk with us. We hear the voice of your Son. When we read the Scripture, we feel the power of the Holy Spirit when we pray and know that you are present with us. And in that power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be with Miss Nancy and bless her. Strengthen her, encourage her, give her your love. Open her up to that power. And while we know that you're always with us and there seems to be sometimes more than we can handle, we know that even in the midst of the more than we can handle, you walk with us and you give us hope and you give us power, and we pray that you would give that to her. For us gathered here, for prayer requests that we have not mentioned, we ask, O Lord, that you would walk with us in them and that you would give us that sense of your presence and your love, that we would not doubt how much you care for us. For it is in this day that we have come to be fully engaged with you, that we hear the singing and it changes us. We hear the power and strength of your love and it makes us different. And we see just how much you offer to us in that grace and love. Now grant us this day a power that only you can give. Grant us this day that we search our souls for who you would have us to be and how we would act. And that you would allow us in that to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Y'all beat me here. Let's pray together. For your love, we give you thanks. And we give you praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. remain standing for the page number that I didn't memorize. I've got it here in a second. Let us stand and sing page 368, My Hope is Built. 368, or it's on the screen. If you're able to remain standing, please do so for the reading of God's Holy Scripture, found in Hebrews chapter 10, begin with verse 32 to the end of the chapter. But recall those earlier days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you yourself possess something better and more lasting. Do not, therefore, abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteousness one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. We do not shrink back, but have confidence and faith, and instead of shrinking, grow stronger. May we find that confidence and faith, and may we see it in our souls. May we know that your grace and your peace walk with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We all seem to have a great challenge which this scripture talks about that I'm not sure that we're willing to admit to. Our challenge is suffering for God. If you think about your life and think about how much you've suffered for God, if you did it on a scale of 1 to 10, how much suffering have we actually done? Would it be a 1? 5? A 9? Admittedly, there's been times in our life that we've suffered more than others. But how is it that we define suffering for God? Hebrews chapter 10, in what we have covered over the last 5 weeks, has had us look at what sacrifice and offerings about. It's had us look at internally who we are with the covenant we make. It's had us change our culture, if we've listened to it, from a sacrificial system to a system of a sacrifice being given. And it has challenged us who willingly give way to other things instead of willingly persist in goodness. Persisting in sin as compared to persisting in goodness. Two separate paths that we have taken. And it comes to an end in this chapter in Hebrews, having us recall the earlier days, which tells you chapter 10 is talking about time passing. When you've been enlightened, been saved, known God, and endured the hard struggle with sufferings. I think about that. Pastors in America, over the years, we have learned that it's gotten harder to pastor churches than it was when we started. When I first began, all those many, many, many years ago, when I was young, you walked into a church, and immediately upon arriving, being Methodist churches, you were welcomed as the pastor. Now, over time, you had to prove that you were worthy of being the pastor. But immediately upon entering, you were welcomed with gladness, with joy, sometimes too much joy because they were happy the person before you had already left, and sometimes not quite enough joy because they hated to see the person that left leave. But you were welcomed. And yet you know as pastors that even in those times that hardships would endure because I've always advocated that there ought to have been one more commandment instead of the 10. I wasn't on Mount Sinai, so we didn't have that conversation with God and Moses. But I've always advocated for it, and I think it should say this. Where two or three human beings have gathered in church, eventually there will be conflict. I don't think I'm wrong. I think I'm right. It could also be said about the family. Yesterday we had all three kids and all grandkids in the same house at Nana's house. As y'all said, getting everybody together at the same time is difficult, and getting them there on the same page is almost impossible. And we had what is typically called in our family the Christmas discussion. Who's going to be where, at what day, and what time on Christmas? Now, you may think it's easy, but then you've got three girls. Gracie's fairly easy. She goes with us most of the time. And then we've got the other two grown ones. There's 4, 5, 6, or 7 grandkids, depending on how you count them. Whether there be natural born grandkids, step grandkids, or kids that aren't even step yet, but they're working on it. I mean, it's all kind of in that process of stuff, and you got to figure out who's going to be at what house, when, where, and how. And then we thought we had it settled to, I reminded everybody that Christmas Eve falls on Sunday this year. So are we having 3, 4, 5, or 6 worship services that day? And at what time would those happen? And everybody will get in that conversation. Who knows how that will turn out? And all that will work through itself. Well, that wasn't necessarily a conflict, but you'd be surprised how many dates got taken up by that many folks trying to get together and separately together at the same time, because we all know that nobody wants to miss a separate time with Grandpa. Amen. They got to be with me, and then you got all that going on, and then they might want to be with Marilyn too, probably. I mean, you know, don't you think? And so, I mean, all that's going to happen through there. And while that's a simple thing, it's not. Well, just imagine, in the early church in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews has said all these things to them up to this point, and he wants them to recall the early days now, because the struggle that's went on, and struggle can happen anywhere, at any moment, at any time. But when he adds to that, endured a hard struggle with suffering, and I ask the question, the great challenge for suffering for Jesus, how much have you actually suffered? And you compare it with this. Stripped of all you own, says that in the scripture. You've been totally stripped of everything. How many of y'all have ever been totally stripped of everything you own, all your possessions, had no place to lay your head down at night because of suffering, and totally left a void of any hope except faith in God? Suffering, stripped of all you own, everything you have. He's wanting to remember this with fondness and joy of this turmoil it took to get through it, because you did it not by yourself, but look at it carefully. You did it with the other people who had been sent to prison. You walked with them cheerfully. You spent all that time together. And the author is trying to get these folks to enjoy the remembrance of those times, not because they were pleasurable, but because, friend, what you have is better than any of that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Think of that. And our time together as husband and wife is, and I don't, terminology is different than Mary Lynn would use, but she thinks of herself as a pastor's wife, and that she is. She answered that call for that just as much as I answered the call to be a pastor. I think of us as a clergy couple. She does more ministry than I do. She can do more ministry by standing up and smiling than I can do an entire week. And if you don't believe that, just watch her smile when she sings. She sang in a praise team once, and they loved her singing. But when we were leaving that church, one of the people said to her, "As much as we love your singing, we're going to miss your smile more, because nobody else in that praise team ever smiles. They're too busy singing." Think of the process of what it means to have something better and lasting. She and I went through stuff together. I created all the problems. She created none of them. But you know the two things I always knew? I always knew God would stand with me, and Mary Lynn would always be standing right by God's side with me also. There never was any question. Now, she may go home and say, "That was stupid," but not in front of anybody else. Think of the process of this. Have you ever thought of your salvation being better and lasting longer than anything else you have? Everything we have here on earth one day will be gone. Amen? Everything will be gone. What we have there never goes away. It never ends. It never stops. It never slows down. I have a hope for heaven. Scarlett, I have a hope for heaven. It's not realistic. Okay? It's not. I want to sing in the heavenly choir. And I want to be the lead tenor. Unless God does a miraculous thing with my voice, guess what my chances are? None. But what I want that for, I just want to sing there. I have been one of those people who have taken a part in the make a joyful noise my entire life. I think it's great. I think we've become afraid. I really do. I think we as a church, and I don't mean just this church, the church has become afraid. It says, do not be afraid. We're supposed to understand that. I want you to think about it. Marilyn and I have hired a young man to do weed whacking at our house. For some reason, they're afraid that I get one of those weed eaters in my hand with my knee, that the chances of injury to my knee between now and complete healing are pretty high. So I had to hire a young man to do weed whacking. I'm cutting grass, but he's weed whacking. So we hired him. His parents brought him by. He's 15. They're older. 15-year-olds are older now than they were when I was 15. He's got a full beard. He's 15. When I was 15, we were just asking, how do you shave? I don't know how that all changed, but that's what it is. So he came, a good-looking young man. And I came out, and Marilyn had already talked to the parents, and they were going in to work on, is it Venmo or PayPal, whatever y'all decide to pay him with. And they were going to get the information, and I stuck my head in, and I found out that the first thing they did when they come to Marilyn was say, do y'all go to church? I knew right then they were Baptist. And they are. They go to Powell Baptist Church. How do I know that? Methodists never asked anybody if they go to church. We say, how you doing? Am I wrong? It's awful when I'm right, isn't it? It's what Gracie always said. I hate it when you're right. I'm the same way. I asked how people are doing first. First words out of their mouth was, y'all have a church? You have a church? We got a church for you. Well, my husband's a pastor. Well, he may still want to come to our church. You know, their entire time is spent trying to get people in church. Our entire time is spent seeing how people are. Now, there's nothing wrong with either one. But think of the process. To witness, you cannot be afraid. Witnessing is saying, you got a church you go to? We'd love to have you at ours. Church. It's not being afraid. But even more than that, it's keeping the faith. Have you ever thought what it means to keep the faith? Now, I'm not going to ask you for raising of hands, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Have any of y'all ever doubted your salvation? Have you ever doubted God's presence? Have you ever felt alone? Keeping the faith is not that you're always 100% sure of everything. Keeping the faith is continually coming back to the faith of what you believe in your salvation and in God's word, that once you have been saved unless you give away that salvation, God will walk with you. And then if you throw away the salvation, tell God you don't want him anymore, that you don't believe him anymore, and you throw everything away, guess what God keeps doing him after that? He sends the Holy Spirit to keep nudging that you need to come back. I want you to work through the fact that if we read this text carefully, keeping the faith is the end goal of everything we do. With authority and assurity, even when the suffering occurs, you keep the faith. Now, here's the things you don't keep the faith in, real quick. Do not ever keep the faith in your pastor. Pastor's just as flawed as you are. Don't keep the faith in the church. The church does weird and wonderful things on occasion. Always has, always will. We can come up with some of the best ideas that are the worst things you've ever seen in your life. I remember years ago a book written by some of the most glorious people I've ever met. Loved them. They've gone to be with the Lord now, but they were fabulous people. And they had a book called Vision 2000. It was written in 1996, I believe, somewhere in that time frame, and it was to get us through that vision to get to the year 2000 and past. We had this big thing about it. We worked on it. A whole kind of conference went at it. We spent a year spending time with it, and about 6 months after the year 2000 came and went, guess what happened to the book Vision 2000? We started reading the prophecy of 2002. They come and go. Visions of the church change. Churches grow and they shrink. They can grow again. Things move. Pastors come and go. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand here, but we're not going to hold you accountable. How many of y'all have been part of this church for at least 25 years? Raise your hand. All right, somebody help me. How many pastors you had in that 25 years? Back there counting, I see that. How many? 10? 7? 14? I mean, 10? Think about it. All pastors, they're Methodist at least, and really other denominations too, but Methodist, we have a theme song. Y'all don't know we have it, but we have one. I am a poor, wayfaring stranger, wandering through this world below. No sickness, toil, or danger in the land to which I go. And it goes on. I'm just a wayfaring stranger. That's who I am. But into the land to which I go that I have my faith in, with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I will cease to be a wayfaring stranger, and I will be at home with God. But you have to keep the faith. If you keep it and you live it, there'll be hard times. We'll remember them and talk about them. You ever want to do that with Mary Lynn and I? We got a nice house. You can come sit at the table with us. We're not doing it standing up. It's going to take time. But guess what? If I number the hard times against the blessings so outweigh the hard times that I was glad to be a wayfaring stranger in those places. I think all of you could say the same thing. Keep the faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, as well as our invitational hymn, if you need to come and pray at the altar, is page 557, Blessed be the tie that binds. Let us stand and let us sing together. Marilyn was looking at me singing, how many verses we singing? Usually I sing one or two verses and go, but you got to sing all four verses of that or you haven't done it justice. So that's what we did. A reminder of those of y'all who don't know, next Sunday I will be at Pleasant Hill the whole day. They're having homecoming. You're welcome to come join us. The food will be great. We meet at 8:30 in the morning. I know y'all would want to get up and drive over there and be there at 8:30 in the morning, ready for church. But here next Sunday, Samantha Johnson will be preaching. She is our dear friend. She will come filled with the Holy Spirit because that's the only way she knows to show up. Okay, that's what she does. And I'm looking back. Is that not true, Scarlett? Amen. And so we know her. And so she'll come full of the Holy Spirit. I promise you, she will have prayed, thought, studied more hours over that sermon than you can possibly imagine, and you will enjoy every minute of her being here. Okay, the problem right now we have is we're figuring out music. Have you figured that out yet? Okay, we're working on that. And so somebody's going to lead music. If not, Larry will be leading music and the service next Sunday. So we're working on that, okay? And so if we keep working, and so so with that, Scarlett will help tremendously if that's what needs to happen. Amen again, Scarlett? Okay, there you go. And so so she'll help you with that music, but he'll help lead. And so, but we'll be there. And so that one time, that's the problem with having three churches. Sometimes I need to stay at one. And I'll think about y'all when I'm eating the pudding and the ice cream and the dessert. I really will. But we'll be there. So, but please come. Don't have her show up for five people, okay? Come and be part of the church Sunday morning so she can come and preach. You will be blessed by her. I promise you, you will be. Let us pray together. And now let's go in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's go in love, grace, and let us honor you with our faith that does not go away. We offer the service. Every person that's in this room and those that wanted to be but could not, to you, O Lord, in your grace, bless us. Amen.